The Nativity is featured in the center of the chancel area, and it is a reminder of Christ's birth and all the wonderful events of that birth. Hear the passage of John's account. The Word became flesh and made his dwelling among us. We have seen his glory, and the glory of the one and the only Son, who came from the Father, full of grace and truth. One of the most heartwarming expressions of Christmas is the Nativity. The Nativity speaks of the mystery of God's wisdom. Why God chose to send his Son into our world as a baby of humble birth. Born of common surroundings, we do not know. What we do know is that God reached out to all people, including the poor and the wealthy, the simple and the wise, the powerless and the powerful. All who found him knelt in humility before him. Knowing God is possible because he came to us at our level. Whenever we see a nativity, we find ourselves with Mary and Joseph, with the shepherds, with the wise men, bowing before the manger, overwhelmed by God's expression of love in coming for us. St. Francis of Assisi is often credited with the first manger scene about 800 years ago. For a people who could not read, it was an effective visual aid in telling the story of the birth of Jesus.
Sing for a throne, and he shall. Thank you, Ben. I appreciate having Ben as an incredibly dynamic partner in ministry. Thank you for sharing and leading in worship this morning here. And beloved, as we prepare for our offering this morning, I invite you to turn in your hymnal to hymn number 219 as we share the carol, "What Child Is This?" Again, would you please stand as we sing the first stanza together as we bless the Lord and give Him glory and honor. Let's sing it together.
What child is this who laid to rest on Mary's lap is sleeping, whose angels greet with anthems sweet, while shepherds watch are keeping? This is Christ the King, whom shepherds, God, and angels sing. Haste, haste to bring Him, Lord, the babe, the Son of Mary.
Friends, as we begin our time of offering, I have an update for you from our Will You Grow series. We celebrate that we have received a 54% increase in the number of estimate of giving cards returned over last year. We are also encouraged to see an increase in the financial commitments commensurate with that growth. We thank those of you who have given, who have turned in your estimate of giving cards. And we invite those of you who have not yet turned in a card to respond soon so that our church can flourish in kingdom ministry in the year ahead. In our church, we give as a reflection of God's many gifts to us. But the season of Advent is a time for us to look forward to the most wonderful gift of all, the gift of Jesus Christ Himself. That's why Christmas time is a time of gift giving, because God so loved the world that He gave us His Son. What gift can we give in return? Only ourselves. But giving our tithes and offerings is a way of giving that helps us carry on the work of God's kingdom. So let us give generously and with joyful hearts. Let's pray. God, we are always thankful for your many blessings, even if sometimes we take them for granted. But here and now we give our offerings to you as a token of our love and devotion. Take them and help us to use them in ways that glorify your name in all the earth. Amen.
Child of Bethlehem, descend to us, we pray. Cast out our sin and enter in. Be born in us today.
Still we see God.
Amen and amen. Thank you, beloved. Be seated, please. As we continue sharing this morning in this deeper understanding of the hanging of the greens, scripture passage found in John chapter 1, verses 1 through 9. In the beginning, the Word already existed. The Word was with God, and the Word was God. He existed in the beginning with God. God created everything through Him, and nothing was created except through Him. The Word gave life to everything that was created, and this life brought light to everyone. The light shines in the darkness, and the darkness can never extinguish it. God sent a man, John the Baptist, to tell about the light so that everyone might believe because of his testimony. John himself was not the light. He was simply a witness to tell about the light. The one who is the true light, who gives light to everyone, was coming into the world. Today, our Christmas tree is the center of most of our Christmas festivities. Glittering with lights and ornaments, it is a part of the beauty and meaning of Christmas. In the midst of our sanctuary here, we have what we call a chrismon tree. The symbols used to decorate this tree represent Christ, Christianity, and a variety of biblical and theological concepts. There are crowns, crosses, doves, butterflies, and stars are just a few examples of the chrismon design. Most chrismons are white with gold decorations of beads and ribbon and glitter. But white is the liturgical color for Christmas Day and suggests purity and joy. Gold is the color for kings and represents the glory and majesty of God Almighty.
For 15 years, Karen and I have had a cat named Dasher. And Dasher, over time, has endeared himself to us. You know, cats are pretty independent, and they live their own lives. And sometimes they want to come and be a part of things, and sometimes they do not. But Dasher, over time, has a habit of wanting to go outside and to just spend some time outside. In fact, just about every day, Dasher wants to be outside. And over time, Dasher's vision has diminished. In fact, Dasher is now blind. And so we let Dasher outside, and Dasher is out there in his own element, enjoying himself. But there comes a time when it's time to go out in the evening to go out and get Dasher and bring him inside for the night. And Karen has a way about her in which Dasher immediately comes. But I don't have that way about me. And Dasher is also solid black. And so at night, you cannot see Dasher. And Dasher blends in with the dark. And Dasher doesn't want to come to me. So I try all kinds of things. I say, "Dasher, Dasher." That usually doesn't work. I'll say, "It's time to come in. Rain's coming. It's time to come in." And that usually doesn't work. But something Karen does is she snaps. And that usually works sometimes. Dasher will start coming and emerging from the darkness. But last Christmas Eve, during the homily for Christmas Eve service, I mentioned I wanted to get a flashlight that shined 40 times brighter. And Karen gave me one. And I have that today. And I'm going to point it upward so you don't have to look at it directly. But it is quite a light. And I have found this light to be invaluable in locating Dasher each night. I can usually pick up a glimpse of Dasher. And as I call for Dasher, and as I'm patient and wait for Dasher, Dasher will usually come. Or else I just go get Karen. Today, we are focusing on coming home for Christmas. That's our series. And that could mean all of us are invited home to know Jesus, which is the real meaning of Christmas. And so we, over the next 23 days, we want to focus on coming home to Jesus, coming home to the Savior. We want to focus on the right things during this Advent season. And Advent is a time for us to really focus like a laser upon Jesus Christ. I'm trying to get away from the feedback. The Gospel of John speaks to the light and the darkness. And so when we say come home for Christmas, we are inviting everyone to come home to the light. To come home to the light of the good news of Jesus Christ that comes into a dark world and shines. I'd like for us to read the scripture again that we heard read just moments ago. It comes from the Gospel of John, and if you would stand and if you would read this with me. God sent a man, John the Baptist, to tell about the light so that everyone might believe of his testimony. John himself was not the light. He was simply a witness to tell about the light. The one who is the true light, who gives light to everyone, was coming into the world. The word of God for the people of God. You may be seated. Just a couple of points about this teaching as we prepare to come home for Christmas this year. As we prepare to come home to the light, that we never forget this teaching, that the darkness cannot extinguish the light. The darkness cannot overcome the night. No matter how great the night or the darkness in our life, the light of Jesus Christ is greater. There is no event going on in the world today that's going to overcome the light of Jesus Christ. There is no darkness, there's no despair. There is nothing greater than the light. In fact, darkness cannot overcome the light. Darkness has no capacity to overcome the light. But light, even a little of light, overcomes the darkness immediately. So my hope and my prayer for all of us is whatever darkness we have in our life, that the light of Jesus Christ will bring us home this Christmas out of that darkness, that we'll come out of the darkness into the light. The Word, John says that in the beginning was the Word, and the Word is connected with the light. And so when we read God's Word and we follow God's Word, we are walking in the light. We are allowing this light of Christ to illuminate our path. And that's what we'll do during this Advent. We'll focus on the Scriptures. We'll focus on the authority of the Scriptures. We'll focus on this good news of the coming of Jesus of the Scriptures. That's what we're here to do. Because our world knows a lot of darkness right now. We may know some personal darkness in our life. And the good news is the light of Jesus Christ overcomes the light. He is the true light. Jesus is the true light. There's no other truth greater than the truth in Jesus Christ. And the light that he brings us is true. It's been true for thousands of years. It'll be true thousands of years from now. It is the true light. John the Baptist was quick to point out he was just a representative. He was just one to say the light is coming. Jesus is the true light. And then finally, Jesus asked for us to shine our light. He said, "Let your light so shine before others that they may see your good works and glorify your Father in heaven," from the Gospel of Matthew. And so the light of Jesus shines on us. The light of Jesus draws us out of the darkness. And the light of Jesus is to shine for others to see. I'm so thrilled that this church has been shining its light to help people in times of need, that has been shining this light to show the love and compassion of Jesus Christ in our world, to shine this light through deeds of shalom, to shine this light through making a difference in ordinary acts of kindness. And let us, during this season, continue to show our acts of kindness and light of Jesus Christ. It feels like I'm electrical up here this morning. I don't know if you're more concerned or I am, but I'm going to keep preaching for just a little while. Let your light shine this Christmas, this Advent. Let your light shine. Let's not let the darkness diminish the light of Jesus Christ at all this Advent season. You know, I shared the story of Dasher. He's blind. He doesn't want to come in when I go get him. He resists, and he will even hide so that I will not see him, even when I'm taking the light and I'm shining for him and I'm asking him to come home. He doesn't understand that my interest in him is to bring him home to a safe place, to bring him home where he's protected, to bring him home where it'll be okay. But Dasher doesn't seem to get that message. Cats are pretty independent. They tend to go their own way. Have you ever thought about our response to the greatest news ever is a lot like a cat? We tend to just lurk in the darkness. We tend to not come when we're called. We tend to resist when the light comes our way. But let that not be the case this Advent. We're being called home. We're being called to the light. Let us come and know the true light of the world, Jesus Christ. Amen.